Are you ready? Here we go.
KFNC, Mont Belvieu, Houston, ESPN 97.5, a Gao Media station.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5.
Yeah, come on.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Tuesday in the big city. We're all present and accounted for. It's Nick, it's Barry, it's Joel, it's The Usual Suspects. We'll take you till 4 o'clock. And what we do around here is we have some fun. We kick around some sports and some other things, and we try to entertain you while we let you interact with us and the rest of the viewing audience as they listen to us.
So, I was going to say viewing. Maybe. Are we on spy cam?
A lot more of us, I think.
We should be.
Yeah, no doubt.
I don't know. We're all pretty ugly.
Well, you two are pretty ugly.
Okay, glamour boy.
Speak for yourself, sir.
Wow.
I mean, we're all pretty ugly. I was trying to be inclusive.
Nice about it?
I mean, if I would have said the truth, I would have just said you guys. But I'm just trying to include myself, and then you go and you try to twist it on me. The ugliest one of the three of us, no less.
I always stay clear of these, but yeah. If you're going to go that route, don't leave that door open, because that could hit you in the ass after that. But anyway, we're still here. You are there, and we are going to go until 4 o'clock or thereabouts before we turn it over to the Blitz. Lots happened since we last spoke.
Man.
Holy cow. I'm on the treadmill last night and I'm flipping channels thinking I got to watch Bad Sports Center until 6. And all of a sudden, lo and behold, the Woj bomb hits and explodes. Blake Griffin's a Piston. If you're a Rocket fan, I mean, a lot of people were giddy because of the whole thing with the Clippers this year. But be careful what you wish for, because you just got competition in the LeBron sweepstakes.
Yeah, you. It's funny because we had that call yesterday talking about
Avery Bradley.
Yeah. And we were throwing it around and it wasn't anything serious. And I mean, you knew he might be shopped, but that broke. It seems like it broke quick. I'm sure it's been in the works, but I think the big takeaway is, woo boy, Clippers did Blake Griffin dirty.
Really dirty. You and I were talking about this. And if you're not aware of it, when he was a free agent this offseason, they went absolutely nuts in trying to make sure that he stayed, especially because they knew Chris Paul wasn't. They did this big theatric presentation to Griffin in the Staples Center where they dimmed all the lights and they raised a Blake Griffin 32 jersey to the rafters and made the PA announcer say something to the effects of a guy that spent his entire career as a Clipper. And then, lo and behold, not even a couple months into the first year of the new deal, bye, you gone.
And he didn't have a no trade clause, so there was nothing he could do about it. And it sends a if I'm a player, if you guys are players, do you trust the Clippers now to
no
go
way.
There as an org?
No.
If I'm going there, then I'm going there and I'm saying, yeah, I'll come to your organization, but I'm getting a no trade clause.
But isn't that what a lot of teams are doing? Like, I mean, when you're in a situation when you've gotten everything that you could possibly get out of Blake Griffin, I mean, did not see this coming at all.
He couldn't have. Because if you believe what the organization is feeding you, then you believe you are the cornerstone of the franchise for the next 5 years minimum, and they expect that you're going to be one of those guys that, like Kobe Bryant and Dirk Nowitzki, that spend their whole career with one team. That's the way they sold him a bad bill of goods, because that's the way they told him. Now, Barry's point's a good one, because now anyone looking at the Clippers is going to be like, yeah, sure, I'm your guy while you're fluffing me to get on the dotted line,
right.
But am I going to be your guy? I mean, this is the whole reason why a lot of players didn't want to come to Houston with Daryl Morey, because they were termed assets.
Yep.
Yeah, and
but I think
he hated
if you're
that
a new
term.
Guy, if you're a new guy that you know you're an up and comer, maybe you're a hot pick in the upcoming NBA draft, you're going to put all that behind you. If they give you an opportunity to play for the Clippers, you're going to take it.
If you're
and
a
they
draft
say,
pick,
and
they, you don't
and
have
the,
a choice.
And if you're that good,
yeah,
they'll
no.
say you're the guy, and we'll build around you. And they won't even, I mean, Blake Griffin has been with the Clippers for how many seasons? Six, seven seasons? I mean, yeah, there was a big window there.
I'm talking free agents.
Yeah, he's talking free agents.
I'm talking potential basketball free agents.
If you're drafted, you got no choice.
I'm talking mid-level stars and superstars are going to look at the Clippers and go, I don't know if I trust you guys. You did the one guy you pursued in the offseason dirty. I mean, they did him dirty. You went to he just got sent to NBA purgatory.
Yeah, no question Pistons. About it.
Yeah.
I mean, if Pat Beverly was playing, it'd be a totally different story. No. And here's the thing, to Barry's point, this is the thing. You go talk to Chandler Parsons. You go talk to Goran Dragic. The reason why Goran Dragic didn't sign to come here and wouldn't even consider it after the fact is he doesn't trust Daryl Morey as far as he could throw him because he was told all these things about how they were going to give him this amount of money and they wanted him to come back. And the minute Jeremy Lin became available, it was like, bye. We're good. We're moved on.
But it's two sides of this though, right? Like you look at this and you say they kind of did him dirty because they chased him, they pursued him, they like you said, they did the banner and all these things, and oh Blake, we want you so much.
Right.
And then they trade him because they want to go in a different direction, and then they're well within their rights to do that. And his agent should have had the foresight to ask for a no trade clause. And you know, in a way you might feel bad for Blake Griffin, he's still getting paid, and there's no loyalty in sports on either side. It's sometimes the team wins and does what just happened to Blake Griffin, but a lot of times it's the players that win and they leave for a fatter contract somewhere else. So, I mean, my heart isn't broken for him. In fact, after what happened with Mike D'Antoni and the Rockets and all that, and the way he, you know, it was grinning like a Cheshire cat after he got the text and bumped D'Antoni and all that. Couldn't have happened to a nicer guy.
Yeah, here's the thing. But you went from the pie hole to the armpit. I mean, you went to the feeding spot of America, basically, where everybody wants to hang out. L.A., Hollywood, stars being seen, the whole glitz and glamour.
To a city that competes with one of the crappiest cities in the country.
To a city that basically filed for bankruptcy.
Yeah.
And my buddy Connor Hogan is from Detroit, and he just tweeted to him, and he said, Griffin to the Pistons is the worst trade since Iverson to the Pistons, putting all your eggs in one busted-ass basket. Yeah, if you're the Pistons, what are you thinking? Well, are you going to build around Blake Griffin now? A brittle dude who...
Here's the thing. Front line now, you got a pretty salty front line with Drummond and Griffin. Unfortunately, your version, if you're trying to recreate the Clippers... What did they call that when they were doing the alley-oops all over the place for a while?
Oh,
Lob City?
Yes, Lob City.
Yeah, if you want to recreate Lob City, Reggie Jackson might not be your Mr. November.
Right.
You know, so, but you're unfortunately paying him a lot of money. But there are still some pieces there to where Detroit probably should be a playoff team now in the East. But yeah, I mean, I don't know how far it goes after that. And if you're the Clippers, here's the thing that I was talking about as we opened the show. If you're the Rockets... Yeah, you like the little rivalry with the Clippers, but you really weren't worried about them. But now you have to be worried about them in a different way because now the rumor is they're not done. They're going to get rid of Lou Williams. They're going to get rid of DeAndre Jordan. They're going to completely go bare bones in the offseason, and then they're going to go balls out after LeBron James and Paul George. And if they get those two guys, they've really done something. And the other thing that you need to keep an eye on between now and the trade deadline on the 8th is who's really running the Clippers now and the power struggle.
Right.
And if it is real. But it's going to be interesting to see because I've got a few thoughts on that because I think if they make any more moves than the two guys that I mentioned, and especially one backup point guard with a big mouth, if he gets moving, I think a clear statement will have been made about the new day dawning with the Clippers in LA, and it's go west, old man. Go west because that's who's running the show. So how about that?
Okay.
All right, so we got a lot to get to today. We got a full agenda, but it's always got room for you. If you want to join the show and call in, 713-780-3776, you can call that number. You can actually text that number. And if you want to reach us via Twitter, and we're pretty good at checking our tweets throughout the show, it's at the producer Nick. It is at Barry is funny. It is Pac-Man Joel with a K. Reach out and touch, and we'll make sure that we reciprocate in the electronic way. We're the usual suspects. This is ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on the Usual Suspects, just getting started. Barry, Nick, and Joel in studio on a Tuesday. Boys, we got to put on the agenda that we need to think of a way back Wednesday for tomorrow.
I have it already.
Doesn't mean we've agreed to it. Nick and I are the deciding bodies that work here.
Well, then, okay.
There you go. Good. Also, speaking of the agenda, Hall of Fame offensive lineman Orlando Pace will be joining us at 2:15. So we'll go a little Q&A with the big fella from Ohio State that won a Super Bowl ring with the Rams.
You don't always have to be in Minnesota at Radio Row to get to get good guests. Yeah.
Don't look like Yahoos with ski caps on for the first time in forever with bad pictures on social media. Just get the right guests and you, stay where you are.
You were telling me that they're doing Radio Row in the cafeteria?
Not in the cafeteria, in the food court. So
good
just,
Lord.
Yeah, here's the difference between Houston and Minneapolis, first and foremost. We had this great setup at the George R. Brown. We had, what do they call it, Super Bowl Town right outside with everything happening between Discovery Green and the hotels. They got the Mall of Americas. It's so damn cold, and they're so worried about appeasing everyone that their centerpiece, like we had indoors and outdoors with the GRB and Discovery Green, is the Mall of the Americas. So essentially, everybody's setting up their mock TV show, like Stephen A. Smith and First Take later in the week. They're going to be in the middle of the Mall of Americas. The Radio Row, which was, we were on what, the fifth floor of the GRB, and everybody was up there?
Right.
Yeah. Radio Row is the food court.
It's crazy.
How's that going to sound?
Well, first of all, just about everyone in radio is fat. So good luck getting them to pay attention with all the smells and people walking by with baskets of nuggets and french fries. There's just going to be so much distraction that there's not going to be any work getting done.
And when you start asking Fitz in the tantrums the next question and you hear in the background, oh, who had the fried rice with the chicken, you know, the egg roll? I mean,
that's the thing. People are, I'm sure they're blocking it off and all that, but still, that's weird. You're doing Radio Row for the biggest event in the world. I'm just spitballing here.
Right.
But I mean, that's ridiculous. You're doing it in a food court. That makes no sense.
Yeah, just to wrap it up and put a bow on the Clippers trade, too, what I was talking about before the break is if Austin Rivers gets traded between now and February 8th, the trade deadline, that's a bigger statement than anything the Clippers did with Blake Griffin, because that means Jerry West is fully in charge now. And I really believe, regardless of what happens from this point forward, Doc Rivers is done at the end of the year. Whether he walks away and resigns or they get a buyout deal done, you could just feel it slipping out of his grasp, and you could feel the Clippers going a different direction with who's running their basketball side.
Yeah, I think you're going to find out if he leaves, then you know that there was a power struggle. If he doesn't, then it looks like that they can get along and work okay. But that's going to be telling what happens with Doc at the end of the year and if he's their coach next year for sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And Austin Rivers is the one guy that everybody resents across the league, especially in their own locker room. The fact that Daddy's boy was not only traded for, but also rewarded with a big fat contract, and he hasn't really earned it. So it'll be interesting to see how that shakes out. But from a Rockets perspective, you already lost the first game of the year against the Pistons, and they still come here, so you'll get a chance to see Blake Griffin. And they might not be done either. They're trying to improve their team. Stan Van Gundy is done trying to build from the draft, and he's trying to win now. So they said they're actively looking. And the Pelicans, who were trying to look before they lost Boogie Cousins for the year, now are agreeing in principle to a deal. And believe this is crazy. Nikolai Mirotic, the bearded one, going from Chicago to New Orleans. Nice pickup, right? Until I said to Barry, do you know what he's making? And next year he wants one of the holdups in the trade is he wants next year's contract to be guaranteed. You damn well probably should. $12.5 million for Mirotic for next year.
Crazy.
He wants that guaranteed. So if they figure that out, he goes to New Orleans. In return, Omer Asik and a number one go to Chicago. Omer returns to the scene of the crime where he became on the basketball map in Chicago. Probably with less ability than when he started there.
Which is crazy.
And he was traded twice with a number one pick.
Shows you what people think of him.
Good
right?
Lord.
Isn't that how you get value or your worth is what you're traded with?
Yeah, unless you're Sam Decker, then you're a centerpiece.
Right.
But other than that, when you think about it, when you look at it, though, that dude has made so much money, too, because, you know, aside from the trades, there were extensions along the way and big deals done to where he has made a healthy living not being able to do a whole hell of a lot other than be a big body.
Yeah. That's the is there a better gig on the planet than being a average to below average NBA guy?
We were talking about salaries in the past yesterday about what's going on in the NBA, but when you look at I said Mirotić at 12.5, but when you look at Ryan Anderson at 20,
yeah,
and you're going, what the hell's going on, man?
It's nuts.
And now they're saying the other rumor that's hot out there is what one that I said a few weeks ago. There was talk of a straight up deal for Clint Capella going to the Clippers for DeAndre Jordan, because like I said, the Clippers are trying to clear house. But now they're saying that if the Clippers are willing to take Ryan Anderson, that the deal would work. DeAndre Jordan for Ryan Anderson and Clint Capella. If you're a Rocket fan, do you do that?
Well, that's
no.
I'm agree asking with you wholeheartedly. I would never in a million years do that.
Why not?
Let me count
the ways. You take Clint Capella out of the situation, you've completely minimized your chances of being competitive with the Warriors. That gap that you've closed, I think you take a step back.
Why?
Because Clint Capella is absolutely necessary for this offense to succeed. The alley-oop is too much of a part of the game. And I don't think
think DeAndre Jordan could do that?
Not to Clint Capella's not to the extent that Clint Capella can do it. Do not think so.
See, I think Capella's still got such a high ceiling.
Plus, the chemistry has to be reset at that point with alley-oops when you bring him on.
No, it isn't, because you got Chris Paul who played with him with the Clippers before.
Yeah, Chris Paul, everybody says Chris Paul was going to be completely fine with Capella, and he has, but it's still not to the extent that James Harden and Capella's chemistry is. It still takes time.
I do the deal.
Do you?
I do the deal for two reasons. One, you get out of Ryan Anderson's contract, all right? You're also, I think the Capella's upside is better than DeAndre Jordan, but as in a win right now mode, you're getting a guy who rebounds at a clip of five more a game than Capella does, and that's what you want from Capella. You want two things from your center in this offense: pick and roll and alley-oops, right? It's the same thing, essentially. And you want rebounding. And DeAndre Jordan can do both of those. Can he shoot free throws? No. Do you got to worry about Hacker Jordan? Yeah. But Clint Capella is not lights out at the free throw line.
He's improved,
but he's not lights out.
But offensively,
people are going to go to Hacker Capella in the playoffs. Watch.
But Capella is a much more talented offensive player. They're both going to be free at the end of the year. So regardless, they're going to get paid. DeAndre wants to come home. That's been rumored for a while. But from the Ryan Anderson perspective, I don't do the deal simply because that's the chip that you can use later if you're trying to orchestrate a sign and trade, or you're really in serious discussions, whether it be for LeBron or somebody else, that look, teams are going to look at that. And like we've talked about, even if it's a dump to a minimum salary team and you get a three-way going, but that's one of Daryl's back pocket chips that he can use when he's got a huge chunk that he can unload. When a team knows they're going to lose a player and they got to take something in return, that you can throw Ryan Anderson to the deal. He's been hanging on to Ryan Anderson for just that very reason. And I mean, obviously they want to make sure they would love to see it work out. But if not, in the offseason, they feel like whether it's LeBron or they need to make a big splash and they're looking at somebody else, Ryan Anderson could be a solution to a lot of problems, because in one fall swoop, you get $20 million off the table when you're trying to orchestrate a trade.
Well, who are you trading for?
It depends. It depends. Like, based on whether if it's a straight trade, then you don't have to worry about who's a free agent. But in terms of free agency, you can do a sign and trade rather than just a straight signing of a guy. And the team then we start working the salaries to make sense. Because look, you're going to be in a predicament anyway. Chris Paul's going to want a max deal. He's going to want a super max deal. Whether he's worth it or not, we can discuss that on another day. But so is LeBron. And even if guys give up a little, they're not going to be willing to give up that much that they could get somewhere else. So that's where the trade scenarios come into play instead of just straight signings and free agency.
So you give up Clint Capella and then Chris Paul, and it doesn't work, all right? And then Chris Paul wants his maxed out contract, right? Then you're stuck with James Harden and two older players as opposed to the future, which could be James Harden and Clint Capella. That tandem, I don't think you should break up. There's just too much. Harden is young.
Let me ask you this. Do you guys see a higher ceiling for Clint Capella? Do you think he's maxed out already on ability, or do you think he can continue to get better?
I think he can get better.
I think he's about what you're going to get from him.
Okay.
I don't think that he's a decent rebounder. Mm-hmm. He's good. He's not a great low post defender. He's good. He can block shots, but there are better guys in the league at defending in the low post than Clint Capella. He gets beat a lot, but he's a good shot blocker. So there's a difference to me between just a pure shot blocker and a good low post defender.
But if I'm going to back your argument, I'm going to tell people that think that right off the top, they scoff at this, That's the defensive player of the year. That's a guy in DeAndre Jordan that does all those things extremely well. For all the shortcomings of Hacker Jordan and the free throw line. And look, if John Lucas can do it for Clint Capella, who says he can't help DeAndre Jordan? And you have the built-in chemistry with Chris Paul.
Uh-huh.
You got a Houston guy coming home. We all know the Gerald Green story has been such a big thing for people.
Mm-hmm.
But more so than anything else, from a defensive perspective, he locks down that end of the floor for you in so many ways. Because Capella is what he is. Look, I think he has a I still think there's a higher upside for him offensively. I think he can develop some more moves. I think he can get better. But I think from a defensive perspective, he's not getting any wider. He's not getting any stronger.
Mm-mm.
He's got a frame that I don't think you can really get too much bigger. So from that perspective, I think you win with Jordan. The biggest question is, are you afraid of losing Ryan Anderson when he is making shots?
See, that's what I'm I'm confusing about. You guys have been hating on Ryan Anderson, but you don't want to get rid of him now. And I'm confused from the salary perspective, because if you move him, you get DeAndre Jordan back, who has a year left on his deal.
Well, he's done after this year.
No. He's got a player option for 2018 and 2019 at $25 million. So does LeBron James at $35 million. So if you're chasing James, you can move the 20 now, get DeAndre Jordan back, and he can decide whether he wants to play or not. You're already 17 under the cap. So you move
Anderson.
Yeah, and you have that $17 million. And I'm almost positive that if you let Chris Paul know that the goal is LeBron James, he's not going to get the max deal. He's going to be willing to stay.
I think Chris is the one that's going to let them know that his best friend is considering Houston.
And to talk about chemistry, they played together.
Yeah, Chris Paul, I never said that. I don't want to give up Ryan Anderson. I just don't want to give up Ryan Anderson with Capella. That's what I said.
Oh.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying too, because Daryl likes flexibility. And I get what you're saying, but at the same time, I think he thinks he knows by now if he's going to be a player for LeBron.
Because, dude.
But I think they may be looking at Ryan Anderson. He likes the flexibility of being saying, I don't want to lock it all up in one deal. And if I can use Anderson as a chip, if there's another option and having
things. But you have that with DeAndre Jordan, because if he exercises his player option, you could trade him because he's in the last year of his contract to a team. Just to dump him that is just looking for a guy whose contract is going to expire at the end of the year.
We got
to
look at
that. So you have that option.
I think once you acquire him in a trade, I think there's a certain I think there's a certain where you can't trade him again.
Well, if you do it this year, I mean, if you did it before the trade deadline.
Well, you can.
I don't think you could do it.
See, I don't think the Pistons. I think you could do it.
I'm talking about next year, early next year. Because if you're trying to make it work, you could dump him early next year or in the offseason.
Okay, Ben, Kevin, we see you. We'll get you here in on this. It looks like we got a little hot stove cooking a little bit before the trade deadline. It's the usual suspect. It's ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects, Barry, Nick, and Joel. And we got rolling early today.
I'm really getting old. I've got to go get my glasses. You know, I went to the Woodlands Eye Professionals where NASCAR Johnny's wife was working before they left town, before they skipped town, we should say, running from the law or whatever they're doing. But I went and got the progressive lenses done, and so I can see far away and up close because I'm getting old, and I haven't gone and gotten them yet, and it's weird.
Explain the progressive lenses.
So, like, I had LASIK done, and they say once you get LASIK done that at some point you'll probably need reading glasses again. Well, that's great. I do need reading glasses now, but I also still can't see far away because my astigmatism came back in both eyes. So all that I had done, I can't see, basically.
Yeah, I've had astigmatism since day one, man. Yeah.
And I can't see far away, and now I can't read. So if I put these glasses on, which are for being able to see distance, I can't read anything up close. So I got to take them off to look up close.
Yeah.
So a progressive lens is both. At the top of the lens, it allows you to look off in the distance. And at the bottom, it's like having a bifocal, but you don't see the bifocal. It's in there. It just looks like one lens instead of two, essentially. So it's just having the bifocals built in, but you don't see them.
Got it. Okay.
So I got to go get those because I'm an old ass man.
Well, I don't know what that's like, but eventually someday I will experience it.
Yeah, because your glasses are just, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they're just Walgreens specials for readers. They call them readers.
That's old man glasses.
Nah.
Like, he's like, nah. I don't know what you're talking about.
Get off my lawn.
I don't know what you're talking about, Sonny.
Look, you little whippersnapper.
Yeah.
Ben, you want to get in here and talk about this trade deal? What's up, Ben?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up?
So I guess there's two main things with, I guess, with or without Ryan Anderson thrown in there. I wouldn't really even want to do that trade. I guess if you throw in Ryan Anderson, and it's mainly specifically for this year, but also going forward as well, because obviously after this contract expires, Ryan Anderson's most likely not going to be with the Rockets if he even makes it to the end of that contract. But he is, whether he's making his shots or not, he at least has a floor spacer that opens up the court, because you have to guard him one way or another. But anyway, so back to the DeAndre Jordan and Clint Capella thing. With the main goal in order to get to and win the championship this year, I think everybody would agree, is you have to go through Golden State. And Clint Capella is just, in that sense, he's a much better matchup with him, because DeAndre Jordan is a much better shot blocker. There's no doubt about that. But there's no shot blocking opportunities against the Warriors because they go five wide and spread you out. So who is DeAndre Jordan even going to guard? Because Clint Capella is much quicker on his feet, and with the Rockets switching everything, that he's much better at picking up the smaller guys on the perimeter than DeAndre Jordan is. And so there's just not really much space. There's no place for DeAndre in the type of defense that the Rockets have been playing this year. And then also on the offensive end, I actually sort of disagree with Nick that I think DeAndre would be better at alley-oops, but I think, Joel, you said it, that's the only thing he'd be better at, because Clint Capella is a much better finisher. He has a much softer touch. He can actually finish on the move. He can finish standing still. He, like I said, much softer touch, which is also why I think he had the ability to improve his free throws more than DeAndre Jordan, because he actually has the natural soft touch, which you can't really teach anybody, or at least I've never seen anybody learn it. So there's just, I think all of those points that Capella gets that aren't dunks, those would go away if we got DeAndre Jordan. And so, I just think from a matchup standpoint, from a fit, I just don't see anything that DeAndre would do that would improve the Rockets. And it's not even like, I mean, granted, yes, DeAndre is a better rebounder, but the Rockets haven't been a bad rebounding team this year. They're not having issues with rebounding. And even on the offensive end, they shoot a ton of three-pointers, which leads to long rebounds and not battling in the paint rebounds.
That's good stuff, Ben. No, look, we appreciate
you. I don't agree with everything you said,
right,
but it was a good call.
Yeah, it was a good call. And you know, you pay attention, you know your stuff. So that's good stuff. If you guys don't follow on Twitter, it's at Bimathug, David Wiener. He is the unofficial, and I swear to God that's his name, but he is the unofficial capologist, contractologist for anything Rockets, but anything NBA. And he wrote an article on Clutch Fans, but he basically has already he very well articulates what I was trying to say about why it doesn't make sense, including Anderson, in this deal. And especially because of the fact that if you make the deal, you not only lose the flexibility of the sign and trade option with Ryan Anderson, but you're locked into DeAndre Jordan if he would opt in, and you would think that he would, unless, again, there's a wink, wink, nudge, nudge that Chris Paul, DeAndre Jordan got together to try and get LeBron James. But he writes a whole article on this, and I can retweet it. But essentially what he's saying is, you know, you have cap holds with contracts that are up, and until you renounce them, you have to have holds on the books. So you would have to have cap holds for Chris Paul and James Harden, regardless of anybody else and what their contract situation is. And if you move Anderson in this deal, then you lose one of those flexible assets to make another deal. So the package, including Capella and Anderson, would probably not be enough to get the Clippers to move, because the Clippers, who also want to be in the LeBron James sweepstakes, don't want to give up flexibility that they have with the cap by taking on Anderson's money
exactly
there. But also from a Rockets perspective, is that adding DeAndre Jordan now and giving up Anderson would preclude the Rockets from being able to add LeBron, because if Jordan opts into his current deal, that means 24.1 off the cap. And then that you say, well, it doesn't matter because you can do a sign and trade. But then because Paul and the other free agent cap holds will probably leave the Rockets with little to no cap room anyway, having Anderson's contract for salary matching purposes and flexibility is huge. Without it, it makes it increasingly difficult to try and get that kind of option, to have that option of doing a sign and trade.
Unless you flip DeAndre Jordan. Unless you trade Capella and Anderson and get out from under Anderson's contract, move DeAndre Jordan, or get DeAndre Jordan, and then he opts in. LeBron does a sign and trade with Cleveland. You trade DeAndre Jordan and whoever else Cleveland wants, picks or whatever, to get LeBron James.
Because what you take back, which has to be within 15%, could lock you up even more.
No, if both teams are over the salary cap. There's rules about if the teams are under the salary cap versus over, and whether it's 15% or whatnot. So my point is if I can get out from under the Ryan Anderson contract by moving them, I like that, because
that's
also
just too much a part of your goal. It shouldn't be.
Well, think about the free agents that are coming up too. Guys like is it Boogie Cousins?
Paul George is
up
there.
I mean, there's
Boogie
a ton.
Cousins, that's a really weird situation now because of the fact that he blew out his Achilles. You know, is New Orleans going to do kind of a goodwill gesture? Are they going to be damaged goods and stay away? And then who's going to want to max out Boogie Cousins until they know what they're getting in return when he comes back?
Yep. You've got, so I just looked up real quick, and some of these guys may have, you know, I haven't looked at their contracts, but this article is from July. Mm-hmm. So it's a little old. But top 10 free agents: Carmelo Anthony, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Chris Paul, Dwayne Wade, DeMarcus Cousins, Paul George, DeAndre Jordan, Isaiah Thomas, or Russell Westbrook.
Westbrook's already locked down.
And you're out of the running for a lot of these guys if you're straddled with Ryan Anderson's contract.
And there's some of them, like you said, we could go back and forth with all the different guys. Yeah. But, I mean, just knowing the way Daryl thinks, he likes to have Ryan Anderson in his back pocket so he has the option of using him in a sign and trade. You know, because of the fact that it's so much easier.
I mean, I know, I get that, but I'm just, it's...
If I understand you want to get out from under Ryan Anderson.
If you move it now or move it later, what's the difference? As long as you're freeing up the room to make that run at LeBron James, because that's the ultimate goal, right?
Yeah, but he doesn't like to be locked down, and that limits him a lot if he...
Why? Just, it's two options, right?
It's too... I'm not going to sit there and go back and forth with you.
No,
it's
but just, I'm saying, if you get DeAndre Jordan, there's two options. Either he exercises his option, which is $24 million that you now have. Because between Capella, he's got a qualifying offer that's going to be $3 million. Ryan Anderson is at 20. So that's $23
million. I understand that.
If DeAndre Jordan exercises his option, you got $24 million now to trade. And it's the same with Capella and that you would have had with Capella and Ryan Anderson. So it's the same dollar amount, essentially. The difference is you're not straddled with Ryan Anderson for another year after that. But if he doesn't, then you free up that money if DeAndre Jordan doesn't exercise the option. So you've got $24 million to play with in the free agent market now.
Just remember, though, the Rockets are not the only team that deal with bad contracts or a contract where they're playing a player $17, $18, $19 million a year and they're getting what you're getting. You're getting Ryan Anderson numbers. I mean, there's a bunch of contracts that you can look back and say they're overpaid. You can't just make that so much of a priority and give up a key piece of your offense just to get someone like DeAndre Jordan. I think if you're talking about all those free agents and you're going to give up someone like Clint Capella, okay, get somebody else other than DeAndre Jordan. It's just not going to automatically work because it kind of worked in the Clippers between Chris Paul and DeAndre Jordan. I just don't think it's a good move.
All right, before we get to the break, Kevin, you've been waiting a long time. Let's get you in on this Capella deal. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Joel? What's up, Barry? What's up, Nick?
What's up, Kev?
Hey, Barry, I know you conspired to keep me on hold, but it's okay because I actually agree with you today. You're not hating today.
I'm not hating?
No, you're not hating today. I agree with Joel, too. Who I disagree with is Nick, because what I don't understand is what in the hell does everyone in Houston and in the Houston organization, I don't get what they see in Capella. Let me explain. When we went up against OKC in the playoffs last year, we had to go to a Hacker Robertson to come back into to get back into that series and to get back into like three of those games. Partially because we were getting killed on the inside of Steven Adams. And then the same thing happened against the San Antonio Spurs, even though James Harden melted down, LaMarcus Aldridge just kills Capella down low in the paint. So I don't know if the trade works with all the numbers and getting LeBron and things like that. I'm not saying that I know about all that. But I just feel like DeAndre Jordan is definitely an upgrade from Capella because the lobs, they stall out. Capella's offense stalls out. And he just gets bullied down low. And I feel like, Joel, you tweeted me the other night, when I was pissed off that we had lost in New Orleans, because I just feel like he's just not a physical center.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Look, Kev, I agree with you. The fact of the matter is, here's the other thing that as you were talking, I was thinking about this too. But yeah, I mean, he might be, he's not as bad as Hashim Thabeet in terms of a guy you just can't put weight on. But at this point, you're starting, even though he was a younger player when you drafted him, he's starting to get to the point of he is who he is.
Yeah.
And the other thing that while Kev was talking that came to me is, you might want to make this move because if you're saving him for the future, by the time he blossoms, if indeed he does, Chris Paul's gone,
yeah,
way past his prime, Harden maybe on the downside, maybe a totally different ball game too, and this might be the risk that you need to consider take, because he brings up the point that we've been making, which is the biggest thing that you are adding is a defensive presence.
Yes. Not a shot blocker,
no,
which is what Capella is.
Overall defensive presence,
yes,
from the rebounding to the shot blocking to the shot affecting, that's the things that you work into the deal. So it's definitely something worth considering. It's the Ryan Anderson ship that makes it. And people say, well, can't you do straight up? No, because Capella this year is only making 2.3.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a problem. All right, we'll continue to roll on. Is that Al? Al, hang in there. We'll get you on the other side of the break. And we'll continue with more of the show that's already started off to be a good one. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. You say hello
and then I say I do. ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects as we've kind of shuffled the deck a little. Normally we do more BSing in the first segment or so. We got right into the brass tacks,
man,
today.
No foreplay at all. You just...
No, yeah, I just...
Jammed it.
I said better yet let you say
just
that.
Shoved it all
on. We don't have a name on the first one. I'll work on that.
Okay.
So we rolling on the Capella deal, all right, and the possibilities.
It's amazing. We're going to build a whole show around a hypothetical trade that is probably never going to happen.
I don't know that it's even been.
I love it.
There.
That's what's going to be. That's why I wanted to bring
this
one more point.
This is why I love Sports
Talk
Radio.
Go with
because
your point first.
The reason why I think the Ryan Anderson, it shouldn't be that much of a part of your goal to get rid of his contract, is because there's a bunch of players. And I was trying to look up a few. Luol Deng, Evan Turner, Reggie Jackson, not to mention big names like Carmelo Anthony, all of which you can argue are completely overpaid. They're all making $17, $18, $19 million range a year, and they're all in the 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-point average. I mean, it's not uncommon, okay? And then the other thing I want to bring up to everybody is ask Chris Paul, because El Jefe reminded me of this on Twitter, ask Chris Paul and James Harden, hey, we're going to give up Clint Capella to bring on DeAndre and see how they feel. And I don't think you're going to see two stars welcoming open arms. Jay, let's just get rid of Capella now and go with DeAndre. Those are just the two points I wanted to bring up about it. And okay. and if you really think the alley-oop situation is, the only thing I wanted to make about that is that I think, yeah, eventually DeAndre would eventually be a good alley-oop guy. But right now, there's going to be a learning curve, a period of chemistry that needs to develop before it happens.
So, I would say it's good. Sorry, Barry, but I would say it's good with CP3 and Jordan. I think, yeah, there's a learning curve with like James Harden throwing the same alley-oops,
which
that
is
he's
what they had to go
Capella
through with Chris Paul and.
But El Jefe's point about them not getting along is completely false. They actually got along. Didn't they do commercials together? I was reading an article. In fact, I searched for it and pulled it up right here. USA Today article by Sam Amick, who said Chris Paul and DeAndre Jordan talk almost every day. That was in December of 2017.
Here's the thing.
So
Nick,
this isn't a non-chemistry thing
that?
Between
you
those.
They talk every single day?
No, no. Well,
I'm just telling you what the writer said.
And I can try and get some of my Clipper friends to try and give me some more insight. But the thing was, at the end of last season, the relationships supposedly went sour with Chris Paul and Blake Griffin for sure, but also there was rumors about DeAndre Jordan. But it just depends on who really knows, because this was the guy that got chartered a plane in Chris Paul to come to Houston to go make that plea to DeAndre Jordan to not sign with the Mavericks and changed his mind. And if Barry's, yep, the article, Sam Amick is a very, very, very reputable source to say they at least once had a great relationship. They could probably rectify that if it means they're going for a common goal.
I completely agree with you. Yeah. I just don't know. It just seems like a retread situation.
What the article said is, you know, Chris has stayed in touch with DeAndre Jordan and Jason Powell, who was a trainer, the head trainer at the Clippers. Missing from the list of folks he still talks to are Blake Griffin and Doc Rivers. That is probably where the bone of contention on that team took place, more than between DeAndre Jordan and Chris Paul, because like you said, he tried to talk him into staying. And so, yeah. Anyways, I just think that's probably low on the list of issues is chemistry between those two.
Cool. All right, let's get Al in here. He's been waiting a while. Al, what's up? You want to get on this trade talk?
Hello?
Al, go ahead.
All right. Listen, I just want to say, you guys understand that basketball is a two-way sport, right?
Okay.
No. No questions, though. Get your point out. Get your point out.
Okay. DeAndre Jordan is one of the best defensive players in the league. And as a center, he makes your team instantly one of the top defensive teams. That's how you play against the Warriors. Everybody has to go to the Warriors, especially in the West. Okay?
They do.
DeAndre Jordan makes this team, forget about LeBron. Who cares about 2019, dude? We're trying to get something this year. Okay? If they get DeAndre Jordan on this team, in my opinion, they absolutely can take out the Warriors. Who's going to control the middle and control the rebounding, and that's how you beat the Warriors, by playing good, solid D, and you don't give them second shots.
All right. Appreciate it, Al. That's good points.
Are going to foul DeAndre Jordan?
Oh, yeah. I mean, hack a Jordan is definitely going to happen. I mean, somebody had a good question on Twitter. If you were to do this trade, who takes over? Who fits into Ryan Anderson's spot?
Who cares?
Yeah, I mean, you can move Trevor Ariza over and add Eric Gordon or Mba Mute or PJ Tucker. Gerald Green. Yeah, there's plenty of guys that can. Yeah, Gerald Green could play small forward. Ariza could play the power, stretch power forward if you wanted the shooting.
Yeah, Gerald Green shot the three well enough. If you want to compare numbers the way Anderson's been shooting it lately, Gerald Green could stand in the same spot, get the same shots, and probably make the same amount, if not more.
Or more, yeah. Offensively, from behind the 3-point line, if this kind of trade happens, I feel like you're better because you don't have that.
You remember the
36%.
Death squad lineup I was talking about that could combat the suicide lineup of the Warriors?
Yeah.
How much better of a death squad lineup is it defensively if you're just getting a
Ariza's
stop?
Ariza's your four.
If you put DeAndre Jordan in the middle,
yep,
and instead of Capella, who does all those things well, not just one, and then you put the rest of the guys around him on that stop, get a stop with Chris Paul, with PJ Tucker, with Luka Mbamute. Okay, so there's three with DeAndre Jordan. Then, like you said, you add Ariza, who's a plus defender.
And he'll play the four. Ariza can guard
one possession against Golden State, who's not that big? Absolutely.
And I do agree with the call earlier who said that one of the problems in the playoffs was when the Rockets went up against the Warriors, LaMarcus Aldridge ate Clint Capella up.
No question.
And it goes to your point that you've been making all year about getting some depth at the center position and another big man down low. If you were to get DeAndre Jordan, then I think you're much better off. You don't have to necessarily have that.
But you still need depth. Right.
But you're not going to
get used by your starting
team. Again, yeah. and he made the point that I was saying in that Capella is a great shot blocker. Mm-hmm. He's not a good low post defender. I mean, he's an okay low post defender. DeAndre Jordan
doesn't have enough sand in his shorts to hold his own on the low block. You're right. If you're going, and I hate, again, I think they need low post depth, because I'm not going to use the term center anymore because it's passé in today's NBA. But look, if your starting center is getting abused on the low block by the low post players from the other team, that's a problem. And DeAndre Jordan's not going to get used on the defensive end. Capella, depending on the matchup, can get used on the defensive
end. Then the whole thing about playing around the rim offensively, Capella's soft there too. How many times do you just wish he would dunk it and he lays it up or he misses it? I get it. DeAndre Jordan doesn't have a touch, but in the style of offense that they run, where a lot of his alley-oops and passes on the run, where it's not going to be a layup, it's going to be a dunk, that's what you want. I can't tell you how many times in the last year I've watched Clint Capella at the rim and gotten pissed because I'm like, dunk the ball,
When I was doing Rockets games, my biggest criticism of Clint Capella was he didn't try to dunk anything. If he tried to dunk everything, he'd at least have gone to the line.
Yeah.
But trying to be a big man with touch is like trying to tell, you know, a power lifter to go do an aerobics class. I mean, it's not a good fit. And that's the thing. One thing you know, DeAndre Jordan doesn't need touch around the basket. He tries to hammer everything. If you could just get, like I said, is it far-fetched to think John Lucas could at least make him better at the free throw line?
I mean, hell, he could make Capella.
That's what I'm saying. He did it for Clint. So it's at least worth kicking around. We'll continue to roll around with this one because we still got Q-Beam on hold, and he wants to get in here.
Q-Beam.
Not high beam or low beam. We got Q-Beam.
He's trying to come up with something different for you instead of just Q, huh?
Yeah, so Q. Because
you told him to. Yeah, you said.
Which was his new alias, last, and then Quentin before that. So we'll see if Q-Beam wants to get in here and chime in on Capella. But we've got one in the books already and 2 more hours of the show to go. If you want to keep rolling on Capella or talk about other things, you can reach us like Q-Beam, 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, you can tweet. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.